Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 35. The Reverend David Greenwald is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Our text today is from Matthew chapter 9. As Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done to you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about it." But they went away and spread his fame throughout all that district. As they were going away, behold, a demon-oppressed man who was mute was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds marveled, saying, "Never was anything like this seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He casts out demons by the prince of demons." And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace are yours. From God our Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, the bread of life. Amen. My name is Pastor David Greenwald. I'm one of the pastors at Lutheran Church of the Resurrection here in South County. It's a joy to be with you today as we look to the words of Matthew chapter 9 and to our Lord Jesus, who is with us. Now, our text today is part of the last of a triad of collections of miracles in Mark chapters 8 and 9, the inbreaking of the reign and rule of God on earth in flesh and power. So we hear in these two chapters of men, women, children, multitudes healed, rescued, and saved by Christ in a forgiveness so powerful, so complete, it extends beyond unseeable sins to physical bodies and restoring creation itself. So that surely, as we read, as Matthew says in the first sentence of his gospel, this is the Son of David, the promised one. So that, hearing again the power and the majesty of Jesus' ministry of deeds, to confirm his proclamation that the kingdom is at hand, we almost can't help but cry out with the two blind men, which we just heard healed, "Have mercy on us. Have mercy on me, Son of David. Have mercy on me, O promised one of God. Have mercy." As I struggle with a mother who's declining fast from Alzheimer's, perpetually unstable, angry, incapable of feeding or cleaning herself, unable to remember the name of the daughter who nursed at her breast, "Have mercy on me, Son of David." As I wrestle within my own memories, agonizing over what went wrong throughout these 23 years that the son so adored would have rebelled so incredibly, seemingly destined for suffering, "Have mercy on me, Son of David." For the dragon, I can't quite slay myself. The mints dissolving even while the airplane bottles of cheap liquor are hidden from the ones you love most just to keep the depression tolerable. "Have mercy on me, Son of David." Have mercy on me. In all of life's struggles, so much so, perhaps, that maybe in the midst of whatever particular train wreck we might be living through, hearing these nine verses of Matthew's gospel, what Jesus has done, what Jesus can do, would leave us with a sting of jealousy. Not so much a "why me?" We know that. Sin, death, evil, the evil one. No one is immune. I can couch that. Maybe you can couch that also. That we're not too surprised when it does happen, because as we so often say, it could happen to anyone. So maybe not so much a "why me?" But maybe jealousy that stems from the question, "Why not me? Have mercy on me, Son of David. Why not me?" You can almost imagine these two blind men, the first to confess Jesus as the son of David in Matthew. You almost imagine them just shrugging their shoulders as he walks by. Yeah, we might as well try. You know, why not us? But maybe for you it's deeper. And maybe not for all of us, but for some. Speaking to our Savior, come on, you're the one whose spit opened eyes, and now my spit receives your body every week. Why not me, here and now with this? The outstretched arms of faith healed a woman's flow of blood. Don't I extend my arms for yours? Why not me? As you did at your birth, each Sunday you break through the cervix of creation to heal a world gone wrong. Why not me? Ascended to the right hand of the Father, the power and the authority is still yours, we might say, and you're still here. Why not me? Long on earth the battle rages, since the serpent's first deceit. And we are caught in the middle, the blessed middle of the victor Christ, Lord of hosts unshaken, and the devil defeated, yet still seething with rage. So we cry out our prayer of faith every week, and today, deliver us from evil. I was visiting with a member at some point in my ministry who was suffering greatly from a number of physical conditions. It was painful, it was debilitating. So sitting there on her couch asking her about her prayers of faith, she said something to me that I'll never forget. That for her, Jesus is our Lord who can, but won't. What a great statement of faith. That Jesus is our Lord who can, but won't, or at least it seems that he won't right now. Why he won't? Why in this moment it's still, why not me? We can't know. She couldn't know. It's not given to us to know. But we never forget that he can. That while our heads might wonder, why not me, maybe with jealousy, frustration at Scripture, or those around us who seem to have been healed, our hearts, your heart, formed, knows more. The only way we can utter the cry of faith, why not me, is a recognition that he can. It's through that faith placed in our hearts, through those blessed waters, that's been protected by the Spirit through the changes and chances of life, faith that Jesus is the Son of God, Son of David, risen and ascended. He can, but he won't. Or maybe at least not right now in the ways that we want. My dear member knows who holds the future, who holds her even in her unanswered pain. Just like you. In the present, there is not adequate explanation. The healings of Matthew 8 and 9 are still possible, but certainly aren't the staple of our faith or existence. So in the face of the question, why not me? There is only and powerfully this. The Son of David is Jesus. And Jesus is Lord. He is the one who broke through the vault, whose dark abode held in vain the rising God. He is from earth to heaven restored, mighty, reascended Lord, and he is reigning, even now in power, at the right hand of the Father. He is Lord over sickness, over broken relationships. He is Lord over addiction. He is Lord over sin. He's Lord over you. He's Lord over everything. He does send his angel legions, escorting you into battle precisely when the foe thinks you're beaten. And he holds you fast. When sin assaults you and comes, he comes always to save. Brothers and sisters in Christ, today and every day, Jesus is Lord, with you and for you. Forever. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.